In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we're going to prepare for the third Sunday of Easter, which will be on the 14th of April. Now, I want to spend the first part of this reflecting on a notion of witness. It is so important, and it's implied in some of our texts, but it's also very important as we go through the apostles, or witnesses, for instance. Okay, let's just talk a bit about witness. Witness implies first-hand knowledge. You can call in an expert in a court, an expert, and say, oh, I don't know, ballistics. Does this bullet belong to this gun? Yes. That's knowledge, but it's concrete knowledge. But most witness has to do with event. You see, you cannot reason to an event. It doesn't have to happen that way. You can, after the event, you might be able to trace some of its causality depending on what it is. But an event, by its nature, you see, is something that is concrete. For instance, when Teresa of Avila begins to talk about her experiences of with the Lord, those are concrete occurrences to which she attests. She's witnessing. If somebody writes a book on mysticism, that's something else. That's not witness. Now, the gospel is spread by witness and by sign, healings, miracles, and so forth. It can become convincing up to a point through good argument, good rational discussion. But the heart of this whole reality is something concrete, something that can't be reasoned to. All Volvos crash with Cadillacs. This is a Volvo, this is a Cadillac, they're going to crash, or they have crashed. No. There could be a crash between a Cadillac and a Volvo, and that's an event. And witnesses can be called. Was he really on the wrong side of the road when this happened? You see? Now, you see, Christian preaching is quintessentially witness. Even in a homily, it's not a teaching. It's a witness. It's telling people about divine reality and helping them enter into experiential contact with that reality. That's why, as Vatican II says, when the texts are read out in the first part of the Mass, it is still Christ preaching his gospel. This is very important. It forms a backdrop to the readings we're going to have. So I want to take a look now at some examples of witness. You see, pointing to, attesting to a concrete reality. This one, and Jacob set up stone. Okay. Then he said to his relatives, gather stones. They brought stones and put them in a pile. They ate there by the pile of stones. Laban called this Yegar Sadhuta. But Jacob called it Galeel. Laban said, "This pile of stones is a witness of our agreement today." That is why it was called Galeeda. It was also called Mitzvah, because the Lord said, "May the Lord watch between us when we are out of sight of one another." You can see these two fellows don't have a great deal of trust in each other. And then, "If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one else is with us, realize that God is witness to your actions. Here is this pile of stones and this pillar I have set up between me and you," Laban said to Jacob. "This pile of stones and the pillar are reminders that I will not pass beyond this pile to come to harm you, and that you will not pass beyond this pile and this pillar to come to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the gods of their fathers, judge," and so forth. So this is witness in the sense of a concrete testification. But God can be called as a witness. For instance, in this text, from Malachi, "You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, and you weep and groan because he no longer pays any attention to the offering or accepts it. You ask why. The Lord is testifying against you on behalf of the wife you married when you were young, to whom you have become unfaithful, even though she is your companion and wife by law." So God is witnessing, "I know what you're doing." Or in Jeremiah, "The Lord God of Israel, who rules over all, says, if you go to Egypt," I will, this is Jeremiah speaking, they've just taken off many Jews into exile, the foul fall of Jerusalem, 586. And Jeremiah is saying, "The Lord says, if you leave here, you see, I will pour out my wrath, just as I poured out my anger on wrath on the citizens of Jerusalem. You will become an object of horror," and so forth, you see. The Lord is telling them, "I'm witnessing against you." Now, more profoundly, there are witnesses to God. For instance, and this one is from Deuteronomy 31, "When Moses finished writing on a scroll the words of this law in their entirety, he commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, 'Take this scroll of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant your God. It will remain there as a witness against you. You heard the law. You said everything that the Lord has said we will do. Well, then put it right there so it will witness against you." Witness. But you see, it's always, you know, you could compose a treatise on law and the abstract obligations of law, but it's not a witness like this is. So, now this is just a couple more to understand. Jesus is a witness. For instance, here in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, "From John to the seven churches that are in the province of Asia, grace and peace be to you from him who is, who was, and who is still to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness." Because he's come and told us about the Father. He's come and told us about the Father's plan. That's a witness. We don't have direct access to that. We know it because of Jesus, okay? Again, in another text, this one is in 1 Titus. "I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and Christ Jesus, who made his good confession before Pontius Pilate." Now, we then come to the most common use in the New Testament, not only the witness of Jesus himself, but the witnesses to Jesus, okay? And so we have all these texts which speak of witness. Now, the word for witness in Greek, as you know, is martyr. So the perfection of witness is that this is so true and this is so important that you know it, that I will die rather than take back my witness. I am telling you about this. I am telling you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the living and eternal Son of God from all eternity, born of the Virgin Mary, who after having taught us, willingly went to the cross and suffered an ignominious death in great suffering, died in an act of love, and rose again. And that is your salvation, and I witness to it. Now you can see that such a witness is very disturbing. It forces people to think outside the box of their own life, their own job, their own whatever, and think about life and death, think about God, think about sin and redemption. And people don't want to do that. As Augustine says, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. And so you see, in this theme of the liturgy that today, witness, it's of something known experientially. Actually, John doesn't use the word for evangelize in his gospel. He always uses the word witness. You see, God knows his own. And his own witness to him and to what he has done. And that's why John always uses this word, martyrin. Huh? There's a famous text about an event which is a witness. It's in the first letter of John 5:6. So there are these three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit who moves the Lord, the baptism of the Lord, and his death. And these three are all of one accord. Now, if we accept the witness of men, why do we not accept the witness of God? He's attesting in this through the baptism, the cross, and so the Spirit coming, you see, the water and the blood. That's God witnessing. We'll accept men's witness. What about God's witness? To a concrete reality that you cannot reason to. It's an event. It's a reality. It's Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God, who committed himself to his total vocation at the baptism. The Spirit moving him, you see, and completed it at his death. And these three, you see, are a witness. You see, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They attest to God's plan and to the power of the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my friends, we're called to be witnesses. We just can't argue philosophically all the time. Once in a while, we have to say, I know this is true because I experience it. I know that it is true because I see how it's changed my life. That's the challenge.